This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
That is correct. It's Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. And yes, 1-800-919-3776. We opened up the show talking, about, of course, about the Knicks loss last night. Disappointing loss to Charlotte to end their 9-game winning streak. Also, Daniel Jones signing his deal and speaking for the first time. And Woody Johnson and company returning from their visit in the black hole with Aaron Rodgers, where the word is, it seems, it was the first of many meetings. So, curious to take the temperature, Don, still of Jets fans and how they feel about, like, you can really look at it two ways. Go, the first of many meetings? Awesome. Sounds like we're getting somewhere.
Right.
Or the way I kind of saw it, which was, okay. So, he had them come out all the way out there so he could be like, hey, dudes, it's really nice getting to know you. I appreciate it. You know what it is? It was a great date, but you don't have to walk me to the door. I'll call you soon.
Now, we have had some people say, well, wait a minute, they got to kind of maybe restructure the deal so that it's more cap friendly. But wouldn't that all come after the fact? Like they'd agreed to it, and then you kind of work on the semantics of it, right? That's not what I think is happening here with these meetings. You're trying to woo them, trying to convince them to come here. How many meetings does it take?
That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And we want to know what you think, too. Let's hear from Danny on Long Island. What's up, Danny?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Classic show. I always said the show is like Seinfeld. When there's less sports, the show just keeps getting better. Nobody else could entertain like you guys.
Thank you, Danny.
Listen, Don, very quick as far as a would you. Let me parlay off that last idea. Put your back at sports phone. You become an executive. You never call a range of game. You never do this. But you get married younger, and your children are born at 30, and you get to, and now you're 55 years old, Don LaGreca. Would you do that? You're going to see Marco, and because I'm only 3 years older than you. I have 33-year-old kids and 5 grandchildren.
I know. Listen, I don't like.
But you'll never call a Ranger game.
Yeah, I don't want to mess. Everything happens for a reason, Danny, and I think the timing was perfect for me. So would it be great to go back in time, have my kids at 30, be able to not have my back be in pain, you know, carrying the bed every night because I'm a 55-year-old man taking 40-pound kids up to bed and all that. But I like the place that I'm in. It all happened, I think, for the reason it did. I'm in a better mental place. I'm in a better financial place. So there's a lot of pitfalls to do it your way, too, you know.
The only advantage of doing it my way is that I'm playing baseball with my grandson tomorrow.
Right, exactly. But when I was 30, I was a mess emotionally. Peter saw
physically
I
repugnant.
40. I was physically repugnant. I didn't have any money. It was
apple,
a mess.
You had the apple pipe out. You couldn't be doing that.
No, so I'm not sure I wanted to bring kids in the world then. The timing ended up being the right time for me. Thanks.
As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, everyone was doing the imagery. I see Eric Schmaltz from Pulp Fiction. He comes to the door. He's wearing like a robe. He looks like Jesus. Right. He's coming off a high. Come on in, guys. You know, grab a pill if you want. Let's just talk about it for a while. Or he literally looks like Oddball from Kelly's Heroes. I mean, if you put the two pieces next to each other, Donald Sutherland with a beard, Aaron Rodgers, just an odd character. And isn't it just about show me the money? This is how much we want to pay you, Aaron. Does Aaron have like a portfolio where I want you to get this wide receiver? I reviewed this offensive lineman. I'm not happy with him. He's going to have to go. Is he right away diving in where, like, I want to be involved in personnel decisions, and these 4 Jets are going to sit there like lapdogs and just do whatever he says? They're going to. Now, listen, the thing is, now, with Lamar Jackson being offered whatever they call that, where you can negotiate, am I wrong to say that you can get Lamar Jackson for 2 first-round draft picks and have him for 6 or 7 years, 8, 10 years, right? And you're not going to be giving up any more than you're going to be getting the strange one himself, Aaron Rodgers, for 2 years. If I'm a Jet fan, I know so many Jet fans, they don't want any part of Aaron Rodgers, and a 10-year contract with Lamar, absolutely jump on that if you're giving up the same thing.
Well, the thing is, you wouldn't be giving up the same thing because you'd have to give up the 2 first-round picks. We're not sure what the Packers are going to ask for because they're not going to have a lot of leverage if the Jets are the only suitor. And plus, Lamar wants guaranteed money, guys. So you say you're going to have him for the next 10 years. Great. Well, what kind of contract are you going to sign him to? He wants all guaranteed money. So you're going to give him the two first-round picks, have to pay him the guaranteed money because he's going to want the Deshaun Watson money, and then pray he doesn't get hurt. It's bad enough when any quarterback gets hurt, Peter, but when he's locked up to that much money guaranteed, messes with your salary cap. Now, if everything's equal, yeah, you'd rather have Lamar Jackson. He's younger.
Right. To his point, if you could lock him in for a long deal, I mean, listen, I'm still a little scared by Lamar's health situation, but that said, if you know you have him for a long time, I think you take it.
Hey, that's probably going to be their plan B if this falls through. But I think I see this out. But to Danny's point, how far are you willing to go, Peter? You flew out to California. You've got all your eggs in his basket. Derek Carr is gone. He's no longer an option. Seems like it's all Rodgers or nothing. Yeah, dance for me, clown. I want to say on personnel. I want to be in the draft room. What were you going to tell him, no? Can you afford to tell him no? Oh, sorry, Aaron. We're not looking to do that. We just want you to play quarterback. Okay, then I'll retire. I mean, the Jets really don't have a lot of leverage as far as saying no to the guy when you want him to say yes to you.
Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. Wants to talk some Daniel Jones. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, I love the show. I love the show. I'm
Thanks, man.
All the way here in the deep south, but I'm rocking with ESPN New York all day.
Thanks, man.
Here's my thing. I just want to talk about Daniel Jones for a little bit. It seems like it makes sense. The 15 touchdowns and the 7 rushing scores get brought up all the time relative to him getting $40 million a year. I get that. But there is more to the story. Like, looking at the data, he was 5th in completion percentage, 6th in QBR, and turnovers are like the most determinant stat as far as who wins and loses, and Daniel Jones was 1st in the league in interception percentage. Mm-hmm. So it's like, he's 25, and he had a good year. There's a 2-year out after with this deal. It seems like a good deal. It really does. For the Giants getting some stability at quarterback, and let's see what happens.
No, it's a good deal. I think it's a fair-ish deal. Did they overpay for him? Yeah, they overpaid for him. But you make a good point. Fast forward 2 years from now, the cap explodes. Guys are signing $60, $65 million contracts to play quarterback. We may look back and say, wow, they got him at a bargain. And I'm sure that's what his agent was telling the Giants just yesterday.
Especially if he takes a jump. And then if he flatlines, after 2 years, you could just cut your losses and be like, we gave it a shot.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen, though. And I guess they're betting it that it won't. Is it a lot of money to pay a guy that threw 15 touchdown passes? Yes, it is.
I think that's fair.
But if you look at it, hey, they went to the second round of the playoffs, made the postseason, won a postseason game on the road.
And played well in that game.
They did. Now, I don't think it was a very good Minnesota team, and they were embarrassed the next week in Philadelphia. But if you look at the grand package, did you really want to start over? Chris, it's a lot of money. But once he starts playing, you're not going to think about it. As long as they've got room, guys, to sign players and get better and they start winning games, are we even going to talk about how much money he's making? Is it even going to be a conversation?
No. No, definitely not. We know that. Once you win, people are going to be happy. Are you surprised? I saw our friend Robin Lundberg put up a thing on Instagram today about the Lamar Jackson situation. Are you surprised that it doesn't seem like there's more of a market for Lamar, in spite of like the concerns we have, and that it would cost someone 2 draft picks? Are you surprised there's not more interest?
I heard, and Chris Carlin tweeted something out too, like how ridiculous it is. There must be collusion going on, that nobody is touching this guy. I just think he's asking for the guaranteed money, and in a cap sport, being injury prone the last couple of years, it's a dangerous proposition. Now, once the music stops and all these quarterbacks end up wherever they end up, if there's a team that doesn't have a quarterback, will they take the chance? Yeah. But why not see how this all plays out here? You know, where's Garoppolo going to go? If the Jets get Rodgers, where's Garoppolo going? Is he staying in San Francisco? And if not, where's he going? Is Tannehill staying in Tennessee? Well, then maybe the Falcons get interested. Who's going to be the quarterback in Tampa? So there's going to be somebody that's going to dance with Lamar. It's just a matter of whether he's going to stick to this wanting that Deshaun Watson money. But Cleveland made a mistake. Make no mistake about that. They made a mistake. And Lamar's trying to take advantage of that, but eventually he's going to have to come down, I think. He's a talented player, but there's worries there.
Yeah, the Watson deal, I think, is a real problem for people. And he didn't make it any better by the way that he played when he did finally come back. Let's go to Justin in Toms River. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Jets, but I honestly think that with the NFL, these owners had a hush backdoor deal where they were saying to the other owners to Baltimore that they're probably not going to give him a guaranteed deal because the owners don't want to open Pandora's box because now every quarterback is going to want it. You're going to have Allen, you're going to have Burrow, all these guys wanting a 100% guaranteed contract, in my opinion. But I wanted to talk about the Jets. You know, you guys brought up a lot of great points. But also, too, like I wanted to go where Don and you were going before. I think it's actually a good thing that this is dragging out with Rodgers. And the way it's fact is, if he didn't want to go to New York, he just would have said no, and the Jets would have went about their business. At this point, I agree. They're probably trying to restructure his contract. But I also, too, think Rodgers, on his end, is using the leverage he has to probably try to bring over some of the guys from the Packers. And that last caller, when he was talking about the Jets, he probably might want to bring Bakhtiari over here, maybe Lazard. You know, the Jets maybe can cut Corey Davis because maybe he's a cut casualty. I'm sure Rodgers is pulling strings to try to get some people that he wants over with the Jets, and that's what's going to drag this out a little bit. And also to the fact that Rodgers never makes a quick decision just doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, but it's interesting, just to Peter's point, you have a meeting, you have your sales pitch, and you've already admitted it's going to be one of several meetings. Now, I get he's got to come here, check out the facility, where is he going to live? I understand having multiple meetings, but like several meetings, you know, at what point is this like, what are you waiting for? You're going to make a decision. I understand, Peter, all right, thanks, I got your sales pitch, give me a week to think about it.
Right.
But so from a decision process, it does seem to take a long time for him to make a decision. But how many meetings do you need to have? Several just seems like strange to me. Should be a couple. Two. But one there, one here.
But doesn't it sound like such Rodgers language? Like, yeah, you know, listen, it's a good meeting and this will be the first of a several. You know, I want to get to know you. You get to know me. We spend time together, eat together, break bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's not talk football. Let's just talk about being.
This first trip, I don't even want to talk football. Let's talk music. Let's talk life. Yeah. Let's talk philosophy.
I got all the answers inside of me. Let me show you my fish tank.
Woody, you were in Great Britain, man. What was that like? What was the vibe of working for Trump and being an ambassador?
Tell me about that.
That's such a great word, man. Let's just take a moment to take in ambassador. What was that like?
Yeah. I'm going to put on an album and let's just all lay down together in sleeping bags and be. This trip, I don't want to talk. I just want to be. Can we just be all of us together? Just be.
And then the second meeting, it's like, well, I don't want to talk football. Let's just put a football in the room, man. Let's look at the football.
Let's see where we land with the football just being.
Where do you see us on that football?
All right, let's go to Richie in Charlotte. What's up, Richie?
What's up, fella? Hey, can you hear me?
I love you, yes.
Hello?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, fella. Hey. So, yeah, sorry. No, it's so true. I think you're dead on about the multiple meetings because it just feels like it's so him. But I think the hardest part is, like, it kind of, in a way, Woody has absolutely no leverage because – I know Michael says if you listen to the fans, you end up in the stands of the fans, but the Jets have just, as a Jet fan, it's the last, ever since he's owned the team, they have one division title. They haven't won a division since 2002. We haven't had a quarterback play under center for more than 4 years consecutively, and I know Rodgers isn't going to give us that, but he would be the greatest quarterback to ever put on the Jet uniform. He's going to go down as one of the top five quarterbacks to ever live. So he, Woody, having the Jets fan base go through what they've gone through under his ownership, absolutely owes as many meetings as it takes to get Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback for the New York Jets.
I don't disagree at all. Listen, he said he wants to pay big money for a quarterback, so he's on the hook. And when he said big money, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't pop into my mind. Ryan Tannehill didn't pop into my mind. What popped into my mind was Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. That's what happened. Or if you want to say Lamar Jackson. So he's on the hook to back up his words. And I do think every owner has an obligation to see through what's best for his football team. And right now, the best for the Jets is to get Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. And they seem to agree. That's why they're out there. And he'll do everything he can.
Let's go to Drew in Staten Island. What's up, Drew?
I'm on the Don and Peter vehicle.
All right. Damn right you are. You're riding on the vehicle, baby.
Jones point, if I may.
Yes.
Please.
So the best part of the deal is being able to get out after 2 years. Everybody turns into a capologist once these deals get broken. Like, I want to repeat a lot of the points that Don said. The market's going to get reset. What's going to happen when Lawrence gets paid, when Herbert gets paid? This deal's going to look great. And if it doesn't look great, you get out after 2 years and you reset. But I'd rather be where we're at right now than be in the Rodgers sweepstakes, Lamar sweepstakes, or settling for Jimmy G or Baker. I'd rather take our homegrown guy, pay him, it looks good for the franchise, and let's see what he could do over the next two.
Well, he's 26, coming off his best year by far. And if he's going to get better and better, you do like the place this team is in. But will he get better? Or will throwing the ball more lead to more interceptions, more opportunities to get hurt? That's a legitimate question to me, Peter.
Yeah.
It's not automatically his stats are going to go up. That's the hope. That's the plan. But isn't it possible that throwing the ball more is going to lead to more sacks, more opportunities to get injured, more opportunities to throw picks? Well, the Giants think otherwise. We'll find out.
And we go to Jason in East Windsor. What's up, Jason?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
I like this question you're about to ask.
So I wanted to make a statement and then ask you guys a question. So
all right.
We all know this year, besides for maybe the Baltimore Ravens, the Giants had the worst receiving corps in football. I think Slayton was their number one receiver. He was ranked like 126th amongst NFL receivers. So I get it. They weren't able to create separation. Jones was throwing into tight windows all the time. I get it.
Right.
But my question is, what I thought, there's a limited amount of teams right now in the NFL that need a quarterback. You could say the Raiders, the Jets, maybe Tennessee if they let Tannehill go. So there's a couple of teams out there. So what I thought the Giants might do is say to Daniel Jones, look, go out there and test the market. If you think you can get $40 million from another team, go out there and test the market. I don't think another NFL team was going to give him that $40 million. So I wanted to know, do you think the Giants could have let him go out there and test the waters, and when he realized nobody was going to give him that $40 million, say, okay, now come back to us. Let's give him $35 million a year. Let's give him $37 million a year. Maybe they could have saved a couple of million. Or do you think they didn't want to take that chance? And do you think another team might have given him that $40 million, and that's why we made the right decision?
Well, you want to take this, Peter?
Well, I don't know who was going to give him the 40. That's why I love the point initially, Don, because I respect what Jones did, and I understand the Giants situation and just wanting to get it done. I don't know that there really is. Who's the team who would have given the 40?
I don't know. But what if it took a while? All right, the Jets are trying to get Rodgers. Let's say the Giants did this. Okay, go test free agency. There's not much happening. They're poking at Jones, but nobody's really deciding whether they want to sign him or not. Rodgers doesn't go to the Jets. Is it possible that Woody Johnson would give $40 million to Jones? Like, there's always going to be a team,
right,
Peter, that's
going to
lose out. So let's say when the smoke clears, Tannehill stays in Tennessee, Garoppolo goes to Carolina, and Aaron Rodgers retires. All right, well, what are the Atlanta Falcons going to do? What are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to do? So they might get desperate towards the end of free agency and go, yeah, I need a quarterback. I'll give Jones 40. And then what do you do when all the quarterbacks are now gone? You couldn't take that chance. You just couldn't. It doesn't seem like anybody else would have given it to him, but maybe they wouldn't give it to him now. But if you're faced with no quarterback, would you? Yeah, they probably would.
Hold on, I thought I had a sneeze, but it didn't come. I think we're going to be okay here.
All right. You sure?
Dennis in Cold Spring has a Would You Wednesday. No, he has a thought about the living till 105.
What's up?
Hey there.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got you, baby. What's up?
Okay, if I'm going to live to 106, mm-hmm. will it be in a wheelchair?
No, he said
I'm going to be happy with that.
He said no health problems. He said zero health problems.
You'll never take a pill. You'll never get sick. Never have a cold. And you will die in your sleep dreaming about Halle Berry. Well,
what happens if the guy was deaf anyway and he didn't hear it? He can't hear the music anyway.
But then that would be an ailment, wouldn't it? I'm telling you.
I thought Michael was off today.
Yeah, well, this is like Michael's elderly great-grandfather. The sneeze eventually came.
Oh, there it was. And couldn't have come at a better time because Dennis's call... You know, Dennis, you're missing the point, I think.
He deserved to be sneezed on.
How much money would you bet that person was watching us on television?
There's no question.
On TV.
He wants to know why we're taking so long between pitches in the Yankee game right now. He thought there was a pitch clock. How are we still talking?
That was a guy that was watching the Yankee game, screaming at the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Screaming at Aaron Boone's decisions against the Cardinals, a game that they lost, ready to throw his TV through the wall.
Right.
But then actually heard the Woodgie game and then said, ooh. And all the thoughts came flooding into his mind and then called and was on.
I disagree. I think you have it wrong. I think he was excited, very excited for the spring training game. Fell asleep after the third pitch. Woke up right now, angry that he missed the game, confused, and said, what are they talking about, 106? What if you were in a wheelchair? And that's how he landed here.
But I was so clear.
Let's go to Richard in Queens. What's up, Richard?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Hey, you know, I was just talking to your producer, and my mom called you guys about, she's 97.
Wow.
And she got on, and didn't get on the show, but she loves Michael Kay. As a matter of fact, Michael took a picture with my nephew and said hello to my mother. So you guys kind of really made her. She's a diehard Yankee fan. I call the radio all the time. Unfortunately, I don't talk to you guys too much, but she knows I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan, and she was really upset the Judge might be going to the Giants, which I never thought was going to happen. But anyway, at 97, she's still talking about it. So,
awesome.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and you know, with the Jones thing, you know, guys, the thing is, I'm a 60-year fan. I thought about the money. I threw the money out years ago. Like, you know, my brother gets a little crazy. Okay, can you pay? Well, if the market bears it, they get paid. He took a team, and I had said the last five games were kind of barometer for him. Are they going to sign him? He got them to the playoffs, and he won a playoff game on the road, and that's a big. Big thing, I think, what teams think of. Is he capable of winning a playoff game? And when you look at Dak, who hasn't won a playoff game, and you look at the interceptions and what he did, cutting down on his fumbles and interceptions was phenomenal. And you just got to think at 25, going to be 26, that he's going to be someone's upside. So to pay him $40 million when in 2 years it might be a bargain, I am not shocked at that. I'm just not. Because if you look at the top quarterbacks in the NFC, unless he really falls back, he's going to be a top two or three. And look at Geno. I mean, that's a great story, by the way, because I think he's a great guy. For him to get $35 million and the skill set, I think, is higher with Jones. So
yeah,
he held him hostage. They had to sign him. I didn't get the whole gist of you, so I didn't. I just jumped in. Do you guys feel that way? That
listen, I had to. Yeah, they had to sign him because what was the alternative? It is still a lot of money. Both could be true. You had to sign him. You're happy with the deal. But boy, is he really worth $40 million a year? But you'll get over it once you find out what other guys are making. But Peter, he made a good point. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Stats are supposed to help you win. And he won.
1-800-919-3776. Nick's on the table. The Giants and Daniel Jones / Saquon Barkley situation. The latest with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I can't believe that's a real thing, but it is where we are. It's Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't forget, guys, you can come see us from the bar at Moynihan Train Hall on Friday, March 10th, before the semifinal of the Big East tournament.
Yay!
Stop by.
Do it.
You might as well. We're steps away from Madison Square Garden. It's going to be a great time starting at 3 p.m. on Friday. It's brought to you by Jack Daniel's, Sam Adams, and Truly Hard Seltzer. And, Don, let's quickly get into a little Nick recap brought to you by Jack Pocket. What audio you say we have for this, Anthony?
Something I thought that was interesting, because obviously the Knicks lost last night and everyone said that fatigue could have been a factor.
Sure.
But Josh Hart had an interesting take on people blaming fatigue as a factor in losing.
Please.
Our jobs is to play basketball. And our jobs, and it's, you got people getting up at 6 a.m. doing 12-hour shifts. Those guys are tired. You know, for us, you know, we're playing a game, and obviously we're fortunate enough to play a game like this, but we have to keep that in perspective. I mean, we got to go out and compete and play a game that we love to do and to compete at the highest level. So, you know, we got to make sure we're full of energy and lively every time we step on the court. And I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think we can, you know, blame this on fatigue. We got to, you know, like I said, continue to grow and, you know, play winning basketball. Like I said, sometimes when you're winning, some of those bad habits are kind of band-aid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why it's self-winning in the league.
I mean, when we want athletes to get us.
No, that's
like
it.
Josh Hart gets us.
If you didn't already love Josh Hart and the energy he's brought to this team since he got here. And by the way, Don, it's not surprising to hear from a guy like right. Hart based on what he looks like on the floor, the way he plays. But as a fan, man, you love hearing that.
No, you love hearing it. But it's kind of apples and oranges when you think about it. I mean, it's you can be fatigued as an NBA player, and it can affect you. And I think it did last night. But I like the fact he didn't admit that, because it's making excuses. And you don't like your athletes to make excuses. They got beat. They should have been a little bit more engaged, and they allowed a bad team, especially a really bad road team, knock them off. But fatigue can be a reason why it happened. I just like the fact he didn't admit it. I like that.
Well, and also the fact that it could be of course it's a thing, but it's not an excuse. Like, yes, you're tired. Everyone's tired. To be an NBA player on some level is to physically be tired, but that's not a legitimate reason to lose a game. And that game last night, Don, I mean, we talked about this earlier. They were up 17 points. I don't know how much that even matters anymore. Being up 17 right now feels like being up 8 when we were kids. You know, it's like, it's not even a number you would talk about. You know, when I was young, I feel like no one even talked about blowing a lead until it was like double digits. Now I feel like it's not even really blowing a lead till you're in the 20s. So, yes, you can be upset about that. They took a big lead into halftime and didn't finish it. Of course, they had to do this without Brunson. And some concern because they have to turn around now tomorrow and play at Sacramento. And they got some tough games. They got the Clippers, the Lakers, the Blazers, the Nuggets all over the next several days. But, Don, I mean, listen, they've won nine straight, hadn't lost in the second half of the season. No one thought this was going to go on forever.
No.
But it certainly was. I mean, I literally talked to a guy who works in my building yesterday, and I said, "You excited for the game?" He said, "Yeah, I really hope that they don't overlook them." I mean, so the one bummer, I guess, is that it was almost a really obvious spot, but it happens.
And the thing is, I mentioned it earlier in the show, they just have to realize that they're not the Knicks of old. They're a hard team to play. I think the NBA has recognized and woke up to this nine-game winning streak. There's a buzz about the Knicks. There's a buzz about the Garden. And you're the Hornets that aren't going to play a lot of meaningful games. You're a terrible basketball team that nobody's talking about. You're going to get pumped to play at the Garden, and you're going to get pumped to shut this Knicks team up. And you saw the way they acted down the stretch. They were fired up, given the first down. I heard after the one rebound, it was like a foul. I think the Knicks committed a foul that pretty much ended the game. And you hear, game over, game over. Like, you could tell that the Hornets were completely engaged. They treated that like a playoff game, and that's a nice message for Thibodeau to send to his team is, get used to it, guys, because when you become a good basketball team and there's energy in this building, teams are going to want to shut you up. Be ready. They got a target on their back now, and the Hornets took advantage of it. Don't let it happen again.
Yeah, it to me, that's the biggest message you take away. See, guys, we started reading our press clippings, fell asleep. The Knicks have a chance to be very good. It's never going to be because they are the most talent-laden team in the NBA. This is a hard-working group with some real talent now. I mean, don't get me wrong. The additions of Brunson and Hart have changed the talent level of this team. But still, no one's confusing them with the big three of the Celtics or Giannis and Middleton and Milwaukee. So you still have to keep in mind who you are and grind is their key to success.
Did you see Kelly Oubre Jr.? At the end of that game, he was the one that pointed the first down. He was dancing on the Knicks' grave. This is a Tuesday in March for a team that's going to be golfing in a month and a half. And he was pumped because it's the Garden, and he knew that he was going to be shutting up a hot team. So they just got to get used. You just saw there was an energy about the Hornets that you weren't normally going to get. And you're going to continue to get that.
Let's go to the phone lines again, 1-800-919-3776. We'll keep it with the Knicks. Ethan in the car. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, guys. Man, I so agree with everything you guys are saying, especially about Josh Hart, about the Knicks being tired. Monica McNutt last night said, hey, you're tired? Get used to it. In the playoffs, you're going to be tired. So you're completely right on that part. But listen, I'm 32. I don't remember the 90s Knicks so well. But I do remember the vibe. Like, that's a childhood memory I have of, like, the adults in my life with that vibe. Mm-hmm. And what Josh Hart said to me embodied that vibe. Hard hat, lunch pail, we're going to go to work. And we also know that we operate in a city where everyone's hustling and everyone's working. And we see you and we respect you and we know what it means to play in this city. And, like, to hear that last night after a loss like that, like you guys said, a game we should win, they were tired, they got punched in the mouth, they didn't punch back, right? To hear that from him really felt like this is what the Knicks are supposed to be. The Knicks are supposed to be teams that talk and behave that way. And it felt great.
I agree with you 100%. It's an annoying day coming off that loss, and that Josh Hart audio actually was a little bit of something to feel good about. Let's go to Mario in Brookfield. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Just want the Giant fans. I think they should pump the emotional brakes because if you really think about it, they've had the third easiest schedule last year, right?
Right.
Danny Jones has averaged one touchdown per game and 200 yards. Do you understand that Joe Flacco has the same amount of 300-yard games as he did last season?
That is true.
What did Joe Flacco play, three games? And so basically, is it that far out of the realm that next year he could make a step back, playing a real schedule where he may even get 12 touchdowns and 2,800 yards?
But don't you think they'll have a better team around him than they did last year?
Can they afford to put a better team around him?
Well, now that it's a $19 million cap hit, Yeah, they should have a lot of money. They were able to get Barkley at a discount with the franchise. They don't have a big hit at the quarterback position. Just 19.5, 18.5, something like that. I believe Joe Shane's going to go out there and get him some weapons. So yeah, their schedule is going to be tougher, but I believe they're going to have better players around him to be able to punch up those stats a little better.
Okay. I just think, like, because even I think you said it after the Eagles playoff game that they were exposed on how many holes they have on that defense.
And they're going to have to try to fill them. And hopefully free agent and a really good draft is going to do that. I believe in Joe Shane. He hasn't been here long, but I think he's going to go out there and get free agents. He's going to draft well and build some things around him. That's a very pessimistic view of Daniel Jones, that just because the schedule is going to get harder, that he's going to just completely reduce like that. They're going to get him some weapons, another year with a really good coaching staff. And I don't get too caught up in the schedule, Peter. We all thought Jacksonville was going to be a W for everybody last year. They ended up winning their division. Remember, we thought that win against Tennessee at the beginning of the year was great. And looking at it most of the season, we're like, I guess it wasn't that great. Yeah, the schedule is going to be a lot tougher than it was last year, but you're still going to have to play within your division. You're still going to have games where you think that they're easy, that they end up being hard, and vice versa. I don't get too caught up in the schedule, Peter, because it looks completely different by the time you play these teams.
You have absolutely no clue. It's fun to talk about, but what is it really? Tommy in Tennessee thinks Daniel Jones could have found more money elsewhere. What's up, Tommy?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I just wanted to say this. You asked the question, what team would sign Daniel Jones? Like, if he was in Tennessee, he would have taken that $38 million or whatever the Giants are offering, because Tennessee has less taxes. In fact, any other state that Texas or Tennessee or Florida, whatever, he would have took less money because he's trying to make up for the high taxes in New York City. I mean, it kills you up there. So,
no, it does.
Yeah, so you got to take that into consideration why, you know, he was probably asking for that amount of money. And that's all I have to say.
But you only care from the Giants' perspective of how much they paid him based on the salary cap hit. You don't care how much it costs the Giants in real money. Giants are a rich franchise. They print money. You know, so you only get caught up in the fact that he's making $40 million a year, Peter, because of the cap hit. But by giving him a four-year deal and not franchising him, they were able to make that cap hit $19 million for the first year. And there's ways to work around it now because they have a cap and they have a contract with him. So, yeah, there would have been other teams, but the question is, how much would he have gotten on the open market? Would he have gotten his $45 million someplace else? And I think there might have been a desperate team when the music stopped and all the quarterbacks were gone that maybe would have given it to him. And then what would the Giants have done with all the quarterbacks gone? They did the right thing, Peter. You know, we're mincing money and all that. They brought their quarterback back, and now they have a quarterback. How good he is, we'll find out, but look what the Jets are doing to try to get a quarterback. What Cleveland had to do to get a quarterback.
So, yeah, at least for the moment, you believe you found one. Now, listen, if you come back next year and he looks like 2021 Daniel Jones, and you're like, oh, my God, maybe we don't have the guy, then we can have a little bit more of a conversation. But I'm with you, Don. I said what I say all year, if I was a Commanders fan, I would have taken Daniel Jones.
There you go.
By the way, you put Daniel Jones, even though I know I said that him and Taylor Heinicke on last year were sitting at the same table, when it's all said and done, Daniel Jones, when you look at how he performed for the Giants, you put him on my team, I think we're in the playoffs and the Giants are at home.
There you go.
So that alone is worth something. And before that Giants call, we did the Knicks recap, which was brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball's $31 million, Mega Millions, $203 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jack Pocket. Download the Jack Pocket app and get your first ticket free using the code ESPN. 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. We got more Case Show next. We got a lot. ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. Peter and Don right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I've been too busy to go back to Twitter and see if we've gotten any good, viable Would You Wednesdays pop-up done.
Let me see. I don't see any.
A lot of people love hitting you with ones about music.
Steve Brzezinski said something about a shark earlier.
A shark?
Yeah, sharks were involved. I got to go back and find it.
Let me find it.
Anyways, well, if you have a good Would You Wednesday, we did one earlier, it was pretty fun, but if you have many more, feel free to tweet them over to us. Right now, we go to the phone, and we don't get this every day. Anthony in New Jersey has a question. He has to take me to task for something about the Commanders. Okay. Mm. What's up, Anthony?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good, good, good.
Peter, before I get to my point, if you wouldn't mind, I just want to give a shout-out to one of your your faithful listeners, Kevin D., okay. Unified. Good man.
Shouts to Kevin
now,
D. Okay.
Thank you, buddy. Last week, I called in and I was having telephone issues. And after we hung up the phone, and I had mentioned that I was an Indianapolis Colts fan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You mentioned that your eyes were glazing over and you were going to hang up on me anyway. Question.
Yeah.
As a Washington Commanders fan, really?
I gave my explanation that day. I stand by it. I stand by it.
You're cleaning up our Carson Wentz seconds. Notice I didn't say the other one. Seconds, and your eyes are glazing over being a Colts fan. Come on, man.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing about being a Commanders fan and talking about the Commanders. And Don, you tell me if you feel me. And Anthony, thank you for the call. It's a valid question. We are a lot of things. But the sort of mess that we are, I don't think I'd describe us as boring. Like, I think train wreck, but the Colts, I just think of as like, I mean, literally, the from the look of their helmet to their general style of play to like, who are their big, what's their big current rivalry? I just, to no relationship with this market really whatsoever in a real way. That's all I meant. I'm not saying over the last 25, 30 years, the Colts have been a better team than the Commanders. Y'all got a Super Bowl in that time. And not to mention had an incredible run with Peyton and then a pretty good run with Luck before that thing fell apart. I just mean, Don, they're not a name that rings excitement when I hear Indianapolis
Colts. It's just their division.
Oh, I mean, thank you. Thank you. Plus, they're in the most pretty pug of all divisions in sports.
All four of those teams are just the Texans, Colts, Jaguars.
Titans,
just all very generic. It just reeks of just a bad Thursday night game. But the Colts are the best of that division. And the problem with the Colts is I don't think you're allowed to attach yourself to the Baltimore history. You're in Indianapolis. Now, you've had a nice run in Indianapolis with Peyton and a decent run with Luck, although it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. But really, since then, it's not great. But I will say about the uniform, I had the luxury when I was doing Jets pre and post back in the day that when we did it from the parking lot, because Buttles got big swing.
Sure he does.
He had the Jets get us a cart to get us to the game so we wouldn't miss kickoff. So we finish up the pregame, we'd jump in the cart, and it would take us through the tunnel. And sometimes we'd get there just as the opposing team was gathering to go out on the field. And there were certain uniforms up close that really hit. Dolphins, Colts. Like the Colts.
The Colts actually hit in person, is what you're saying.
They did. Because even though I say they can't claim the Baltimore history, it's still the same uniform.
Right.
So I disagree. I think that
You like the classic
horseshoe
look.
is really nice.
It's a good looking horseshoe. As far as horseshoe goes, certainly the most notable.
But they're built when they played in the Hoosier Dome, just a very, I don't know, not aesthetically pleasing at all. I get what you're saying, but I can also see somebody on the outside going, really, what is Washington done? What's exciting?
But you would even agree, though, but there's a very close relationship between the Giants and the Commanders. It's a real, there is something. It may be the least in the division.
It is.
It's still something, though.
It's something.
What is there with the Colts in this market?
I think you hit on the difference. One's in the NFC, which is the class of sports. The NFC East is that's it. That's the gold standard of sports divisions.
Come on. It's a beautiful division in so many ways.
Right. And hey, the AFC South is like the SEC.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.